Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today with episode 132 of the Ham Radio Podcast. I'm going to warn you right now, this episode in particular is going to be very different, a lot less professional, more laid back. The reason for that is because Lone and Carrick straight bailed on me. Lone let us know last night that he's probably not going to be able to make it. And then Carrick, he just straight was like, "All right, and guess what, Maddie? My thing's starting 4 hours earlier, so I'm leaving for the cabin now. Best of luck," is what he said. And straight up, like, explosions in the background, flipping the bird at me, left me to fend for myself. So I texted my neighbor. Would you kindly introduce yourself?
What's up, everyone? I'm Tyler. You know, for any loyal fans out there, you may or may not remember me getting my ass kicked in Injustice a few years ago.
Oh, my. Few years. That was deep that in was the history ago. Of Mr. Maddie Plays,
yeah,
bro.
Was a while
that,
ago.
So you were youngin' then. Now you're a big boy here. Join the channel for a real professional chat.
Yep.
This is going to be great. We've dreamed of this day for a while. Ladies and gentlemen, this is essentially like my little brother. I've known him since he was a baby growing up. And, you know, I've just raised him myself to, you know, be a fine young lad, strapping and everything. And here he is on my show.
And here we are. I'm going to use all the tips that Matt's given me, all the life tips, all the, you know, all the advice. You know, I've soaked it up like a sponge. So today's like the real test. I'm really just going to focus up and try to entertain the listeners.
Bring it to you guys out there. So we're going to be talking a lot of casual game news here. We're going to start off with EA purchasing Respawn as Tyler reaches for his phone and brings up his source of information.
You know, it's got to get the article. Got to really make sure I sound knowledgeable.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Because Tyler does, he does play a lot. He doesn't know what he's talking about or else he wouldn't fucking be here, let's be honest. But yeah, so EA has purchased Respawn Entertainment. Respawn Entertainment being responsible for the development of the Titanfall series. There's been a bit of a conspiracy theory circling around the internet. We got Respawn, who made Titanfall 2. Now, EA did publish this title, meaning they, you know, paid for the funds, most of the funding, the marketing, and all that shit. But they didn't market Titanfall 2 at all. You gotta wonder if, with the way EA works and how they like to acquire companies, that they intentionally put Titanfall 2 in a stranglehold position of releasing it between Call of Duty and Battlefield, put them in a horrible financial position afterwards because the game sold like shit, and then bought them when they were in deep troubles. Is that what you think? Could you concur with that statement? Is that
I can definitely get behind that statement. You know, knowing that EA is that type of company, they're a billion-dollar company. Most businesses put themselves in, you know, in position to succeed. And, you know, I think it's kind of both Titanfalls were put out in a weird situation. Mm-hmm. You had Titanfall, which is kind of like this new generation movement, you know, that flying, that gliding type of thing.
Yeah.
That was put out literally at the same exact time that Advanced Warfare came out. So to me, this is kind of like a theory I have. Like, you know, Titanfall is a very bare bones game. You know, I felt like there weren't many guns. I felt like the Titan was the main point of the game, and you only had like three to choose from. So that was something that was you know rough about that. But I think you're right. I think the game was put out in a weird position. It was kind of put out, you know, in between two. You know, giants in the FPS industry.
Yeah, complete juggernauts.
And the first one was put out. You know, same time that, you know, Call of Duty FPS Giant came out with the same type of movement.
And it was exclusive. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, with the same type of movement. So, you know, I don't know how successful it would have been, given that, you know, if Call of Duty went boots on the ground that year, and, you know, Titanfall came out and was really, like, the only FPS game with this, you know, flying around movement type of thing. But I can definitely see, you know, EA doing that to, you know, try and put themselves in a better position. Because, like I said, yeah, they have published it before.
Yeah.
This is like a $400 million deal. I was reading that, you know, EA's not going to have their, you know, hand in the cookie jar here.
That's such a load of shit.
Yeah,
dog.
Like I said, that's...
I know. But I'm just saying to me, you look at what... They say that. They always go, we're hands off. We let them do what they want. But, like, I've seen so many publishers who say that and publishers who actually do that. And you see it in the product. EA has a rep now where they, and it just, here's the thing, the timing is like amazing that they just shut down Visceral Games, developer of Dead Space. They developed also Battlefield Hardline, which, you know, Carrick, we know, loves. He fucking hates it, by the way. It's just that, you know, I said I like it, but, you know, he despises that. I enjoyed it. But regardless, they just shut down a studio who I think they failed exponentially with after acquiring them as well. And with EA's path, you know, they want to make games a service, so they want to make you continuously pay as time goes on. Seeing them acquire a multiplayer game where Titanfall 2 was, and I didn't play it all too much, in fact, I'll be honest, but from what I saw, you know, it was a step forward in each direction. Like, apparently the campaign was better, Well, the first one didn't even have a single player.
That was the problem. There was literally no campaign. It was all multiplayer, and the campaign was kind of integrated into multiplayer.
Exactly.
You did things in...
I forgot about that. Yeah,
you did things in the game that would kind of lead you towards like a cutscene, and that would kind of be like your single player experience. So.
Yeah, and it was like so short, and that final mission was epic, but like there was no actual context to the event.
Yeah,
where the first one actually added to it, and it was apparently pretty good. I know Lone, he loved it. He still talks about it like all the time on the podcast. But you know, the multiplayer, I think they did, like you were saying, how there were a few Titans, they did add more. They did make it a more important part of the multiplayer too. So that, you know, it looked like it was just a general step in the right direction for the series, and it just sold poorly because of when it was released and who it was going up against. And now we look at Titanfall 3, if that's presumably what they're doing. Or actually, yeah, that was a part of the deal. They said Titanfall 3 and Respawn's Star Wars game. They said that's the reason they acquired them. And upon reading further into that, I also saw that the reason they shut down Visceral was because Respawn's Star Wars game was accelerating and looking much better in the position it was at than Visceral. So I'm wondering if we're going to be seeing a Respawn Star Wars game at least revealed next year, and a Visceral Star Wars game, I think they said we won't be seeing anything till 2019, or at least that was their plan. It's probably going to be later than that. But yeah, getting back on track, I rambled a little bit there. With Titanfall 3, I think there's safe to say there's room for concern, right? I mean, we have a company that's adding microtransactions to any game they can get their hands on, which is not an EA-specific problem. But with Titanfall 2, I don't believe, as far as I know, there were any microtransactions in the multiplayer. And now with 3, it's basically a guarantee, right?
Yeah.
And so that, I don't think that speaks good for the future of the series, and that would get more fans on board.
Yeah, like I said... That's the direction that games are starting to go nowadays. You know, I was doing a little pre-podcast research, and I texted you about, you know, Battlefront 2 microtransactions, and you said you guys had talked about that. So I think you're going to start seeing, you know, microtransactions is built into every multiplayer game. I don't think, you know, multiplayer connoisseurs like myself. I prefer a multiplayer game over a single-player game. I still thoroughly enjoy single-player games. You know, I've played a lot of them. But I think that, you know, people like me who prefer multiplayer games are going to be, you know, kind of stuck into this world of, micro DLC, which, like I said, a lot of people are doing, you know, the in-game currency slash...
like five different types of currency, like COD World War II.
Yeah, exactly. Where, you know, where you can, you know, do a bunch of that stuff. But I think you are, you know, guaranteed to see some microtransactions in Titanfall, which couldn't be a bad thing. Like I said, if they do add, you know, a supply drop type of thing, and say they do cosmetics only. For me, I love cosmetics. As long as it doesn't alter the game, as long as it doesn't do anything crazy, you know, as long as it's just a cosmetic thing, you know, a color, a uniform change, a different Titan skin, something like that, that's something I can get behind. You know, obviously people will pay for it. People don't like that just because they don't like that. It takes away from the original game. They say you could have just put that in the beginning when you first developed it. But if they go down the cosmetic-only route, you know, they don't start adding crazy stuff. They don't start making the game... you know, unplayable unless you pay for this. I don't think it'd be, you know, something crazy. But that, you know, like I said, EA, they make a killing off, you know, microtransactions. Like FIFA.
I know so many people
who, you know, pay for Madden packs, pay for
Ultimate Team,
FIFA packs on all these Ultimate Teams. So I could definitely see them. I can definitely see them starting to do something like that where, you know, it is a total money grab. Let's hope it's not. So the game can kind of succeed on its own. But if, you know, if it does turn like that, to me, it wouldn't be a surprise. You know, I don't know how you would think about that.
Well, here's the thing is that, you know, we were talking about balance, cosmetics. And with, I'd say like, okay, yeah, we see the trend being like, all right, they're adding microtransactions. That sucks. But we also have seen that most of them are cosmetic. But EA, in their latest attempt for microtransactions, was Battlefront 2, which you brought up. And the first issue initially was that they were putting these things called star cards. You know, you're a big fan of the star cards in Battlefront 1, aren't you? So, you know, they take those cards and put them in these crates, and you'd be able to just pay a bunch of money and you'd unlock these epic star cards. You can grind them up into parts, upgrade the star cards even further, essentially beefing yourself up before even playing the game for the most part. And that's what worries me most is that although they have mostly remedied this issue with a update where
basically EA said you have to play the game to unlock this stuff. It doesn't look too grindy. You know, they took epic star cards and really powerful weapons out of the crates and made it almost useless to have in the game. That's where I get a little flustered because, you know, you see them attempt to break the game with it. Of course, the garage door is going to open. We're going to keep going here. But you see them essentially break the game with these microtransactions. Then they get called out, and then they look... It's almost like a good PR scandal, because yeah. then they go, we listened, we hear your feedback. That was the headline. They're like, we saw your feedback and we listened. It's like, no, you tried to scam us, and if we didn't flip shit, you weren't going to go back. Like, no morals were involved in this decision. But like I always say, I don't think business and morals really cross. They simply don't. They want to make money, and if they feel it's going to lead to them making less money, that's when they make the reverse decision and pull back. So that's why I'm worried with Titanfall 3. You know, we have a company that has a history of just putting microtransactions that break the balance of games inside their titles, and they're going to do the same with Titanfall 3. Hopefully this game does get some traction, though, some attention, and they actually market it properly.
I think that Titanfall 3 is going to need... It's going to need to be enjoyable to play, and it's going to need to be... the game's not going to make or break with microtransactions. I don't think, you know, any game really does.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to break with, you know, just like a kind of bare-bones gameplay, you know, the implementation of something different. I feel like the first and second game, I didn't feel like there was too much of a change. I feel like it was kind of the same thing.
Fundamentally
the same thing, which, you know, that's what they're going to build their game off of. But I didn't feel like I was getting a different experience from the first one. You know, I bought the second one and I played it. You know, it was enjoyable to play. It was nothing crazy. Like I said, it wasn't, oh, wow, this is a different Titanfall. It was, it's kind of seems like I'm playing the same game.
Expanded, though.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they added a few different features and stuff.
Okay.
But I feel like they're going to need to do something, not drastic, you know, but not minimal. I feel like they're going to need to find the happy medium there. And this is, you know, this is my two cents, you know, to make the game kind of more of an appeal. Because I feel like they are stuck in that, or, you know, at least in my mind, you know, they're stuck in that, like, oh, Titanfall, you know, like, who's going to buy that? So I feel like that is kind of surrounded on their game, you know, that bad reputation, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I feel like they kind of need to break out of that. Now, I don't know how they'd break out of that. That's for, you know, them to decide and me to judge. But I feel like that's something they need to do in order to kind of break that aura of, you know, oh, Titanfall, you know, bad game.
So, or at least bad circumstances.
Yeah, there you go.
Because the stigma surrounding that game is often great game, bad timing. You know, like a fucking relationship.
Exactly.
We've heard that before. Yeah. You know, you're the right person, but the wrong time. Yeah. And so that's what I feel is really cursed Respawn with this series. And I wonder if, you know, there's a thing called sequel fatigue in a lot of game series. Like, as the sequels go on, you're seeing less people adopt those entries. So it's like a Titanfall 3 is a newcomer going to hop into a third entry when they miss two. Maybe they don't know. The first one really didn't have a campaign. The second one does. Does the third one have its, you know, is it like a Final Fantasy where each campaign is just this new entire story in a different universe? I doubt it, because Titanfall is just completely different. But I'm just saying, like, it's obviously going to be a continuation. So there goes a good portion of new players possibly coming in.
And even if they're trying to, like, rebrand their game, I could see them, I don't know if, you know, it's an official game right now, so I don't know if it's going to be Titanfall 3. But maybe going, just changing the title. I don't know how much that would help, but, you know, Titanfall, A New Hope.
Yeah, A New Hope. Yeah, sure. I mean, that would definitely, I mean, that's worked before. I know Bethesda actually does that. Instead of doing, like, a Dishonored 2 DLC, they make Dishonored Death of the Outsider, which is, like, it's bigger than a DLC. Around
smaller
the
size,
smaller in a game, more along the lines of an expansion, sell it separately, and it garners way more attention. So I'm thinking that's going to be a trend moving forward. But we'll shift over to a different news topic this time around. It's going to be Sledgehammer Games, and how originally their vision for the next Call of Duty, which a lot of people are playing right now and enjoying, is Call of Duty World War II. They wanted to make Call of Duty Advanced Warfare 2, but Activision actually made a really good call, I'd say, and told them no. They said, we want you to go boots on the ground. That's where the market's trending. And they read it pretty well, because Battlefield 1 really just stole the show in 2016 and hyped everyone up to go back to World War 1. And then Call of Duty followed suit. What's interesting, though, is that a lot of people were, and I said even back then,
when Call of Duty World War II was announced, they were saying, oh, they're just copying Battlefield. And I was like, no, they're obviously not. These decisions are made years in advance, and this is a testament to that. But you actually enjoyed Advanced Warfare
a lot. I did. That's a little bit of an unpopular opinion.
Yeah, it definitely is. I'm going to tell you that right now, yeah. So be careful. I'm kidding. This is an opinion-free show. But, you know, what do you think about someone who enjoyed Advanced Warfare 1, that you could have gotten a sequel to a game you found pretty enjoyable compared to what you've been playing with Call of Duty World War II?
So this is going to be a really unpopular opinion here, but I thoroughly enjoyed Advanced Warfare. I thought it was a really good game. Mm-hmm. It was something different. I played a lot of Ghosts. I played the game more than most people did. and while you're playing it, you know, I kind of look back at that game and now I'm like, oh, you know, that game was kind of fun to play. But in the moment, you're kind of furious. And, you know, Advanced Warfare was kind of a nice change, you know. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something different, something new. I was starting to kind of play competitive COD at that time. So it's the first game I really, you know, played. So to me, there's kind of a nostalgia aspect to that where, like, oh, you know, it was the first game I really grinded. You know, I grinded Ghost, but it was the first game I really, you know, put hours into. And that was enjoyable to play. I think the game played well. I think it was kind of balanced. You had guns like the ASM-1, which were monsters. They killed fast, and that really doesn't sound balanced.
No, but I know what you're saying.
It was enjoyable to play. It was nice to use. There wasn't anything crazy. I liked using the battle. I liked using the ASM-1. I think the game played well. It was colorful. I think color palette, I've heard you say this, is a big aspect in the game. So that's something I enjoyed. And, you know, playing a sequel to that game would have been nice because, obviously, it was one of my favorite, you know, COD games. But I think they made the good executive decision here to go back to where the fan base wanted. You know, you were starting to see a lot of people on Twitter, a lot of people, just in the Twitterverse saying, you know, I'm done with this series. I don't want to play this. You know, it's just flying game after flying game after flying game. You know, even I kind of got fed up with it. And I think they made the right decision here. They started to see that, listen, we're going to lose players. We're going to lose money. And like you said, we talked about that. That's what a business wants. They want to make money. So I think that by going back to what their players wanted, you see this game has a really big player base. You know, they didn't expect this many people to start playing day one, and that's why you had really bad server issues.
Still.
So, yeah, even to this day.
That's last night.
And they said that it was due to this, didn't expect this amount of players to, you know, come on, simply because, you know, I don't know what their mathematics were behind that or, you know, what they were thinking. Mm-hmm. But I think they definitely they played to the public here. They did what was right. And they're making money because of it. You know, the game sold, I don't know the exact number off my head, but it was,
I think I saw 500 million.
Yeah, there we go. I knew it was a few hundred million. I didn't want to say, you know, something, you know, crazy low or crazy high. I don't know if you would have got that with Advanced Warfare 2. I don't know if you would have, if you would have had a $500 million debut. So
it would have sold well, but probably not as well as a COD World War II.
Yeah, and like I said, I think you're coming off of what was known as the worst Call of Duty game at Infinite Warfare. I barely played it. I know you barely played it.
That's
uncommon for me. I always play the new Call of Duty game that's out. I always grind it. And I always play it competitively. I was done. Mm-hmm. I stopped playing it there. So I definitely don't think you would have got a $500 million debut with that. And they made the right decision here. You know, Activision is obviously trying to make money. They're going to make more money, obviously, with the supply drops that are coming into the game.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is a new trend you're going to start to see. I'm not a big fan of it. I like the way that AW implemented the supply drops. You could never pay for them. You only got them through game time. And obviously they had the upgraded guns, but they had a really cool cosmetic stuff. I'm a fan of, you know, wacko, kind of weird. They had, you know, you could be a clown, you could be a gingerbread man.
Wait, really?
Yeah, there was a gingerbread man costume they added. They added, you know, really cool colors. They had kind of like an alien thing on your back.
See, I actually like that. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not saying I like Advanced Warfare because I fucking hate that game. But, like, I like that type of stuff. I know for some people, like, Battlefront 2, I think they said the reason they don't add, like, crazy cosmetics like a pink stormtrooper is because they think it breaks the universe. But I think, like, it's multiplayer. I don't give a fuck. Like, I love Star Wars, but if I want, like, you know, if I want that real gripping experience, like, I'm looking for that in a single player, and I can still feel authentic despite running around as a pink stormtrooper. Exactly. I think because it's kind of cool customization.
I always like cool customization no matter what you're gonna add. If it's something crazy, I think crazier the better. That's just me. That might just be how I look at it, because you're right, it is a multiplayer game in the end, and I think there's a lot more people who kind of think you have that same mentality as me. But I like the way they implemented the, you know, supply drops in Advanced Warfare. Obviously, they're never going to do that again. You couldn't pay for them. You could only earn them through game time. I think it was like 40 minutes. You got a regular one. Then every 10 levels, you got what was called like an advanced supply drop. And, you know, that's when you got the cool stuff, the one that you got every 10 levels. And that's kind of what made me play the game. You know, I got up to, I think, 22nd prestige in that game.
Holy shit.
I enjoyed the game, but that kind of what kept me going. It kind of incentivized me to keep playing, keep grinding. I think the pubs were enjoyable, but I think that was kind of, you know, that's what got me, trying to, you know, just get that new supply drop. I'm like, oh, listen, I'm only 3 levels away, might as well just grind that out, you know. And then, oh, listen, you're only 9 levels away, might as well get a little bit closer. And it was just an end of the cycle. I think it kept me playing the game. It might have kept, you know, whoever played the game and, you know, had that kind of same mentality as me. I think it kind of kept you guys playing the game. But they're not doing that anymore. You know, they said they're going to add COD points in this game, which essentially is their currency that you can buy.
It's a shame. I mean, they are giving everyone, I think they said 1,100 upon the release of it. So, it's like Creation Club. They're like, we're giving you some points so that you can buy shit. It's like, but it's hardly anything. Because I don't know how that... Is this the first time they're doing, like, COD points or something?
No, they did COD points back in Black Ops 3.
All right, so what would that 1,100 equate to? Like,
I think it was $5.
Fucking, oh my God.
I think it was $5. It was between $5 or $10. I think it was $5.
So we'll probably get, like, 2 supply drops out of this. Oh my God, that's so bad. That's so bad. I mean, for me personally, I agree. I think they made the completely right decision, not just because I don't like Advanced Warfare, because, like you know, there are people out there who did enjoy it. But the market was definitely trending that way. I liked Black Ops 3 personally. And, even then, like I didn't like that wall running stuff. There's a reason why, and I made a little Patreon video about this, but, there's a reason why I've gravitated towards World War II a little bit more, is because, although I said in my review, this is more of the same. I've always had a competitive gaming history with Call of Duty, and you have too, where, that's why we play this game a lot, competitively, because it is that boots on the ground. It is more traditional, whereas the Call of Duties with like Black Ops 3, Advanced Warfare, I'm probably forgetting Infinite Warfare. You know, they're all fucking bouncing around. Like I always say, tried and true, it made a Twitch shooter like beyond that, which I thought sometimes it could be unplayable unless you had a scuff, which is $200, $150, whatever it is. It's insanely high priced, and you know, everyone had to jump shot. So I found it removing a lot of the fun, but also the, I guess you could say, skill to an extent. And so it really bugged me, and I'm happy they went boots on the ground. My question is, are they going to keep doing boots on the ground now for, like, do you think, like, a couple of years and then go back to the jetpacks? Are they going to say, like, all right, enough of boots on the ground, they want, like, is it just going to become this endless cycle? Rinse and repeating.
Yeah, I think it depends on who's making the game. Next up, you have... Treyarch's always made good games. They probably made the best boots on the ground Call of Duty with Black Ops 2.
Yes.
So I think people are going to see
Treyarch Black Ops boot, 1, bro.
Yeah, and Black Ops. I know you love Black Ops 1. That's your favorite game. I love Black Ops 2. When people see, you know, Treyarch on a boots on the ground thing, they see that label and they see who's making it. You know, they see Vondahar's behind the scenes. He's calling the shots. I think that you're gonna get an attraction to it, and people just like... they like old things. They like the way it used to be, you know.
That's true.
People always like the way it used to be. They like when they were in, you know, 8th grade, they came home and they played COD 4 with their friends, and they played MW2. And I think that's a way to get back to that. It's a way to get to that fan base, because a lot of those people are older now. You know, they don't really
not to interrupt you, but like this podcast, my house wants to make every sound fucking imaginable. Every sound. My dog's just, I'm gonna bark at my food at 3 in the afternoon. My fucking garage door. Holy fuck. All right, keep going. I'm sorry. I had to bitch for a sec, because I'm just like waiting for my dog to shut the fuck up, and he just keeps fucking going. God damn, bro.
Yeah, I was basically saying the point that I think that people, if you want to, you know, attract the max amount of players you can, like I said, you had that kind of older generation people who played the game when they were younger. They liked it. They liked the way that it played. It was a Twitch shooter, and I think they kind of got away from that when, you know, you started flying around and being able to do all that sort of thing. So I think that if you can get a Treyarch label on Boots on the Ground game, I think you're going to have a lot of players come back, and you're going to have a lot of new people play, because they, you know, they hear about how good of a game Black Ops 2 was, and, you know, maybe for, you know, younger people who are coming into play, you know, they hear from their friends or they hear from someone, they go, dude, Black Ops 2 was a great game. I think I think that kind of that stigma around Treyarch, you know, being a good game maker. You said you like Black Ops 2, even though it flew around. I think that when you get a good game maker and you get a kind of a something that you want, a boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get, you know, two things that people like, you put them together, that can only make something better.
Yeah, that's true.
Simple mathematics.
Absolutely. And I instantly, yo, hold up, time out. There's a fucking spider on my wall.
You can take the show for a sec.
I'm going to commentate this.
Yeah, by all means.
Spy's bad. Now he's walking around the room. I don't know where the spider is.
Right,
I don't
here.
Know. Oh, there it is, right under his TV.
I'm going to use this R2-D2 manual.
He's got the R2-D2 manual from that big controller thing. Smack. And the spider's dead.
Yeah, dead as a fucking door. Now.
There you go.
Let's go. Imagine I put a hole in my wall.
Just right through. I see your steps.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. I didn't leave a smudge on my white wall or anything. Beautiful.
Yeah, that was
clean kill.
I think the Mets should hire me. I think I'm better than Jared Cohen right there. Back. Get out of here.
All right. So, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Treyarch. Whenever they're making a Call of Duty, they got my attention right away.
And it's simply because they make good games. People who make good games.
They're like the one, okay, like with Sledgehammer, they're like, it's been a dream to make Call of Duty. Like, we love this. This is our best achievement. Same thing, Infinity Ward needs to go. They suck. They suck, in my opinion. I'm just going to be brutally honest. Infinite Warfare, I'm not even just saying that because I know everyone like that, they dislike bombed Infinite Warfare because it looked like Advanced Warfare again. But like Ghosts, I know you liked it. Couldn't stand that game. Modern Warfare 3, Jesus Christ, fucking couldn't stand that one either. Like, I loved MW2, I loved COD 4. After that, bro, game over.
Yeah.
And honestly, MW2, it took me a while to like it because pub wise, that game was awful with like the one man army, Danger Close, Noob Tubes. The kill streaks. That game was busted public wise, and it still is, but competitively it was fun.
I was still in diapers back then.
Yeah. Jesus, bro. But you know, with Treyarch, they are the only company. I'm not just saying this because I like their games, but I always find myself being interested because they seem like the only one in that trio. And I could make a testament to Sledgehammer now with COD World War II just because I have been enjoying the competitive side of things. But Treyarch, I feel like they're the only company that really, like when they say, we like making Call of Duty, we like working with this franchise, they actually do.
Yeah.
Because they've had easily, if anything, the best campaigns,
yeah.
I think, hands
Black Ops
down.
2 campaign, hands down, my favorite.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. There was like choice, there was loadouts. That's a COD campaign I'd actually replay. It was really good. What else do they have? You know, I just remember like watching trailers, you know, throughout high school and stuff where, you know, they added face paint, they added theater mode.
Yeah.
What else did they kind of break?
League play, they kind
of, yeah, I, they kind know, of break the ground on features that are dolphin diving. That's still in Call of Duty now. And I know it's a little thing and it's kind of a joke now, but like,
it's just something nice, you know, a little thing that you've never seen before.
Exactly.
Your game kind of bugged out before when you were sprinting, you went right in the pro, and the game kind of bugged out in you, and it promo blocked you, and they kind of made that fluid. Like I said, it's such a little thing, but it's little innovations like that that just keep making it's a multiplayer game better. That kind of has the possibility to stale out if you don't do new innovations like that.
It's just what I've noticed consistently, personally, is they add the things that make it feel fresh. Like I really enjoyed one thing about Black Ops 1, and that was its currency kind of mercenary system, where like everything you did gave you money, and then you'd buy your camos, you'd buy your guns, you'd buy your equipment. I really like that, and you'd earn money through challenges. I think they had to balance it out and add like cost amounts for the higher level stuff, but regardless, like that was fresh, that was different for everything else. Now it's just level up, unlock this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And in this game, COD World War 2, I think it's more of like a, you can level up your character, obviously. You can level up your gun, prestige your gun, get different things on your gun through that prestige system.
And then, and how to unlock stuff. It's kind of like that mercenary thing in Black Ops 2 where you can buy the camos, but it's kind of through, like, collections. I don't know if any of you played MWR, where there was kind of tiers of stuff. Like, you had
They changed that?
They did. So what they did is, say you had, an AK-74U. I don't know the name of it. It was kind of cool. Kind of looked like the gun was broken down. I mean, you saw like the springs and stuff inside of the gun. So you wanted that, that would be locked. you'd have to buy everything under it. So the top, you have like a uniform, and that would kind of be like 8,900 credits.
Okay.
And the thing under it would be like 2,000, 1,000, 250, 100.
Okay, so yeah, it's the collections from...
Yeah, so it's exactly what they have now. And which I kind of like that system.
Mm-hmm.
But something I miss, and this is, you know, not going to be really popular, but I miss just letting me buy camo. Just like, letting me pay $2 and get that camo I want.
Oh, no.
I hate how they're implementing it into
no, supply drops. No, we don't want this.
No, see, this is me. If I'm making the game, I'm saying, yo, listen, we're letting people just buy the camo they want.
Well, business-wise, that makes sense, yeah.
It does. We keep talking about it. They want to make money. It's a good way to make money because in Advanced Warfare, I bought probably... anywhere from
watch
like
your words here.
Like 7 to 9 camo, so I probably paid like $20 in micro DLCs. But it's because you know they had cool stuff. I'm like, oh, listen, I don't have to grind out for it.
Yeah,
it's nice and easy. And that's something I miss. I know they want you to play the game. I was kind of talking about incentivizing you to play earlier, so this is kind of a, you know, their way of incentivizing you. It's not the, you know, the best incentivization for me.
Well, because like for you, it's different because. You and I, we like competitive. Yeah. We don't dabble in pubs for as long. We'll play pubs for, like, 2 weeks, and we'll do it when we're, like, waiting for a match. But, like, we're usually in competitive, so we're not getting those challenges to unlock all that. And it would be silly if you could unlock them through private matches. So, I understand the appeal, and I don't know why they wouldn't do that. It's just, like... Here's the thing, though, is like people will hear that and go like, "Oh God!" Yeah. You know, he just said he bought camos in an AW.
Really, just a hot take.
Yeah, but like the other thing is that like I'd say we're all guilty of
indulging ourselves.
Yeah, indulging in a microtransaction because you're enjoying a game so much, you're like, "I want to give them my money." I did that a lot with Overwatch. Every time they and this is worse actually, and I stopped doing it, but. I love that game, and I still love that game so much, but, like, every time there was a new patch that brought in a new event, $20.
Yeah.
$20 dropped every fucking event, and I'd get as many of the crates as I could. And they'd zing me every time. Yeah. And it's like, I definitely wasn't the only one, but, like, there's so many people, how they make their money. But, you know, my biggest and worst, I'd say, indulgence was FIFA Ultimate Team in my sophomore year, I think, of high school. Holy shit, dude. I dropped all my money on Ultimate Team packs. Oh my God. It was disgusting. And what's funny is I fucking hate soccer. I can't stand it. You know, it's fun to watch like the national sport, I guess.
I love watching the U.S. in the World Cup.
Absolutely.
Pretty much only time I'll
watch
soccer.
I was going to say only time.
And they're not even in it this year. So the World Cup is,
care. Yeah. So it's like, whatever. But you know, like, that's why I don't know why I did that so much. It's ridiculous.
No, you hear stories like, you know, I obviously go to school and, you know, you hear people be like, you know, they dropped like $100 on their mom's credit card.
Oh, and then, that hurts.
And then they say it was an update, you know, and they're literally just scamming their parents. luckily, I never was, you know.
That's nefarious. Holy shit.
Yeah, I'm sure you have stories like that. People would just drop like $100, $200 on Ultimate Team, say it was an update.
I've actually never heard that before. That's amazing.
That was always the go-to for me. And I was like, wow, like. That's just a bad thing to do, you know?
That's just
I hope
cold.
You get caught. But, you know, I luckily was never sucked into that, you know, but obviously, like I said earlier, I was sucked into a different type of thing, you know,
the little piecemeal ones, like a couple bucks.
And it's the same thing, essentially. If you like the game, you're gonna start playing it. If I wouldn't buy anything on IW simply because you don't like the game, so I think game developers have to make you like it before you buy something. I mean, at least for rational people or normal people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something they have to do. But I think if they can get you hooked, I think that's, you know, they can start making a lot of money. And I think that's where this kind of wave of, you know, microtransactions is coming from. Like we said earlier, it sucks. There's not much you can do about it. But it's just, I think it's the way it is, and it's just a wave that we're going to start seeing.
The issue is with microtransactions is like everyone says, like, all right, we speak with our wallets, we just don't buy them. No problem. But, like, everyone has to collectively do that. And in order for that to happen with these types of microtransactions, everyone has to – and this is fucking impossible. Everyone has to collectively be not lazy.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I admit, like, I wouldn't – just because it's Advanced Warfare, personally, I would never give them $2 for a skin that I could maybe earn in-game.
Yeah, like I said, that's what I was trying to talk about before, where they have to make you like the game.
Yeah, exactly.
But once they make you like it, I think that's when they start making their money.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's definitely people. And, you know, the thing is that there are some people who only play Call of Duty, so they'll literally put aside $20 just for microtransactions down the line. I don't remember what game it was for. It might have been FIFA.
Yeah. Like, I'd literally buy the game, and then I'd save $20, and then, like, a month in, I'd buy the Ultimate Team packs.
Yeah.
And, like, that's how I'd do it. I mean, FIFA 13, that's my favorite FIFA, and, like, that one, oh my god, easily hundreds.
Yeah.
Easily. Disgusting amounts of money I spent on that game. I love that game, like, because it had a really awesome progression system in the My Pro Club.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I spent way too much money on that game. Like I said, I would beat the shit out of my younger self if I could for that. Just fuck myself up.
Marcus, my brother, he does the same exact thing with NBA. He plays on my team, which is kind of like the ultimate team.
Yeah.
He drops so much, it's not even his money, he drops so much of my parents' money on the coins. Yeah, so I'm like, dude, like, and it's different, because I do the same exact thing, but I'm not in the position where I'm like, dude, why would you spend money on NBA? Like,
well, because NBA, you drop way more, yeah, I think,
you don't buy the pack. I don't know how it works with FIFA, but, you know, you buy the set amount of coins, and from there, you buy packs, essentially. So mm-hmm. it's the same concept. But you can get so much more, but you can get the older players.
I remember, Can't you buy, like, stats, too, for your My Player
that
you
use
in blacktop mode and stuff?
You could buy, and I don't play NBA, it's going to show. I forgot what it's called. You essentially buy, like, abilities where your guy will become, like, a better dunker, your guy will become, like, a better alley-ooper. Geez. Yeah, that's for the My Player thing. And that's kind of, like, the thing with NBA. People are always, like, you know, you never have to play the game. You just have to spend the money. You spend, like, $20, you can get 99.
That's the biggest issue with this latest issue is that, or this latest edition of the series is that, like, people are saying you can even buy, like, a hairstyle.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous. And then a lot of it's just pointless. But let's shift over from microtransactions and Call of Duty stuff to Battlefront 2. It's dropping soon, so we'll just talk a little bit about what we're hoping to see in this game. What are you big on? And are you big on anything in Battlefront 2, for starters?
I played the beta. I played it with you, obviously.
Yes, you did.
I think the game is beautiful. It looked like a movie.
Yes.
It really did. It was, like, I was like, wow. I was kind of, like, taken back by that. Mm-hmm. Something about the gameplay just didn't hit with me.
Okay.
You're
not the only one with that, by the way. When you said that, I thought you were ridiculous for a sec, but then I went online.
I remember that.
And a lot of people were like, I don't know what it is, but the gameplay, something's off.
Something just didn't hit with me. Battlefront 1, you know, when that $5 thing came out on PSN, we played that. You know, I played Battlefront before that. I love Battlefront 1. I think it was an awesome game. I think if it kind of had, like, a player base when that little sale dropped, I think we could have played it a lot more than we did.
Yeah, it was such a dead game at that point.
It was so dead, because I don't think a lot of people were jumping on that $5 simply because, one, they either didn't know or, like, two.
Yeah, but, like, dude, that was such a
deal.
That was
free really good
season
deal.
Pass, ladies and gentlemen, for Battlefront 1 and $5 for the game. Straight up.
Yeah, that was an awesome deal. So I think if it kind of had more of a player base, I would have kept playing it. I really like playing Battlefront 1. Battlefront 2, graphics were awesome. Gameplay just didn't connect with me. It just didn't feel like I was really, like, immersed in it. It was kind of different. I liked how in Battlefront 1 you kind of picked your gun, and then you kind of went from there. In Battlefront 2, I really didn't play much of it because I didn't like playing it. So
You picked a class.
You picked a class. There you go.
You could select your gun, though. You could change your gun from within that class, though. Yeah. So, like, it wouldn't be... Yeah, your voice good, bro?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. You're good. You need a quick gallon of water.
Yeah. For me, I sit on the side where I'm just ridiculously excited for the game because... Actually, ridiculously excited is probably more of an exaggeration. I don't think I've actually been ridiculously excited for a game since Fallout 4. I'd say the next game I'm actually legitimately ridiculously excited for, by exact definition, would be Spider-Man PS4. But the reason I'm excited and most looking forward to Battlefront 2 is just because I love Star Wars. So there's definitely some bias put in there. I liked the beta a lot. I thought they made the right changes going forward. I'm glad that, although I hated they had to be told it was fucking awful, but they made the changes to the loot boxes. So I think they made the right improvements. According to a lot of listeners on the show and people who have tweeted at me, according to the Inferno Squadron book, which released before this game, which is about the Iden Versio, who's like the main character in the campaign. Okay. Like, our biggest concern, you haven't listened to the show recently, but our biggest concern with this campaign was, like, they're just gonna she's a part of the Empire, and, like, she sees the Death Star blow up at the end of episode 6.
Yep.
And, like, it's like, what happens after that?
Yeah.
And so they our biggest concern is, like, they're somehow gonna make her a good person.
Okay.
You know, like, but she's been born in the Empire. Yeah, we want her to stay, like, an actual Empire story.
Yeah.
And so, because I thought it was gonna be kind of like, have you seen episode 7 of Star Wars?
I might die after saying this, but I've never seen a Star Wars movie.
Oh, my. Yeah, you just fucking yesed my ass to death, too. You're like, yeah, the Death Star blowing up, yeah.
Oh, I know the basics of it. Obviously, you know.
Okay, at least that's what I was going to say, bro.
No, I know the basics of Star Wars, you know, but I've never seen a movie. You know? Okay. That's my dark secret.
Yeah, don't tell that on a date. So, in Episode 7, though, there's this character, Finn. And you know, he's a stormtrooper, but then he ends up becoming a rebel, basically. Okay. Long story short. And like, we're so afraid that it's going to be that same kind of thing where she's going to be like, the Empire's really bad now. I don't like this. Yeah. I'm having a change of heart, and it's going to be really cliched. But that's my biggest concern. I've vocalized that on the show before. But I'm just looking forward to this complete experience because you know, the arcade mode, which you were able to test in the beta, you know, it had fun little challenges in there, and the multiplayer seems fun. I really enjoyed my time with it. I like the classes, nostalgia mostly, because in the original Battlefront, they had classes, except these ones offer, you know, a little more customization where you can change your guns and stuff. And I really am looking forward to trying out the single player, even though it's going to be a lot like what I did with Call of Duty, where I literally sat down, didn't plan on beating it that afternoon, and ended up playing straight into the evening and plowing right through it because it was so short. I think because DICE campaigns are ridiculously tiny. Like, they're so cinematic, but, dude, they're the fucking shortest things ever. And so I think that's what I'm looking most forward to, is seeing, like, this is supposed to be the Battlefront 1 that we were going to get because Battlefront 1 was so content barren.
Yeah.
But this one's got, like, the campaign, the story, the arcade. It's got split screen. It's got, like, everything going for it that it's really hard for them to fuck this up.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. They're not... the original Battlefront. What was that mode where you kind of went world to world?
Galactic Conquest.
Yeah, and they're not adding that, right? Right,
oh, off you, the start? Dude.
Weird
if they,
thoughts it, on that. Yeah. I went to my cousin's house, and we hooked up the old original Xbox when we were playing the Battlefront, and that was just so fun to play.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like, it's been a while since I played it, but I kind of felt like multiplayer where, like, where you were killing a bunch of things.
That's the thing, is like, in the old Battlefronts, the instant action, the Galactic Conquest, like, all the gameplay was really the same across the board.
Yeah.
I think the reason Galactic Conquest stuck out so much is because it felt like you were actually setting a goal and accomplishing it, where, like, you start off on one end of the galaxy, they start off on the other, and you move planet to planet and fight for control, and you, by winning, earn credits, and then you spend those on upgrades, like a garrison, hero upgrade, stuff like that. So I think a lot of fans really gravitated towards that strategic element. And sadly, that's not right now in Battlefront.
Is there a reason why? Because I remember that I saw something on that, and it was kind of like a rage Twitter rant.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't understand why they wouldn't be. Is it money-wise? Is it development-wise?
The best guess I saw and I thought of myself was, I think it's feature delay, which is what happens is sometimes a company, you know, they blow their load, essentially. They put everything in the game up front. It sells well for the first month, and then it drops off to $40, and people kind of gradually pick it up over time. What they do with feature delay is you put it, you know, you put most of the stuff in the game, then you feature delay a big update like Galactic Conquest.
Yeah.
Month down the line, free update, Galactic Conquest is in the game. You keep it at that $60 price point. You know, you got microtransactions, though, so you're keeping the money flowing. Yep. You keep it at that $60 price point. I mean, look at Overwatch. I don't think that game's gone below on PS4, like, what, $40?
No, and here I was thinking, I remember when I first got my PS4, I'm like, yeah, you know, I got, like, $20, and I go to GameStop after work and pop and pick it up. You're like, no, you're never going to find it for it.
I was like, nope, because that game, dude, with the microtransactions, with the constant updates they do, which... I don't think with Overwatch there was future delay, but they had weekly or monthly updates planned. They were able to keep that price for over a year up around the $50 price range at minimum, which is huge. Yeah. You know, we see in a year for most games, they go down at least 25 at GameStop, and then people pick them up for a cheap price. So, and when you keep it up there, developers don't, I believe, I have to double check this at some point, but I'm pretty sure with used games at GameStop, developers don't and publishers don't get money from that.
Okay.
When the sale happens. So when you keep that price point up there, there's no point in going to GameStop and buying it used for like $5. Who gives a fuck, right? You buy it new, or you buy it at a Walmart, a Best Buy, and then, you know, they're still getting that money. So it plays a huge factor when you can keep that price up there for as long as possible. That's why I think there isn't it. I also think the scale of the mode and what it would entail
is simply it was too much to, because they are, for all that they did wrong with the loot boxes and shit, I know people try to take away from the entire scope of the game itself, but the multiplayer, you know, it's pretty, there's a lot there, there's a lot more heroes, a lot more maps. With the single player, you know, you got the campaign there now, you got modes for offline single player, like I said, that arcade mode. Like, there is a lot there where I think, like, if we were to add a Galactic Conquest 2 in the mix of that development, they just didn't have enough time after Battlefront 1.
Yeah.
So, I'm happy with the package that they have now. If they did a content update and added Galactic Conquest, I really, truly think that's possible. But the thing that I'm thinking of now is, like, if they don't do it in DLC or whatever, they absolutely, in Battlefront 3, they have to have it.
Yeah.
Have to have Galactic Conquest, or else it's just more maps, more modes. Then they'll just call, people will do what they did with Destiny 2 and like, oh, it's Battlefront 2.5, yeah. You know? They'll just say it's Destiny 1.5. So, anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to that game, though. And speaking of GameStop, this will be our last news topic. And I'm really curious to get your thoughts on this. GameStop is launching a used game rental service. So for, I think it's $60... let me bring it up, but for basically $60, you can go ahead and rent whatever used games you want. I think up to six. But what are your thoughts on a GameStop rental service?
I think this is kind of like the same thing you're seeing with the Xbox Game Pass, where you pay, I don't know the price on it, you pay that subscription fee, and you get X amount of games to choose from, unlimited games. I think those games you get to keep. It's not a rental.
The Game Pass, the Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, Xbox Game Pass. So I think that this is starting to be the new thing you're going to start seeing because, you know, with these single-player games, you beat them once, who touches them again? You know, I know some people like to go back and play them, or some people, you know, hold them, like, near and dear. But for a lot of people, you know, they don't think it's worth paying $60 for that, you know, quick one-and-done experience. You know, depending on what you're playing, you know, some games you get like 150 hours plus, you know, like a Witcher 3. And some some games you get, like, you know, a 15-hour experience, like a Telltale game. So I think a lot of people, I think it's appealing to a lot of people. It's appealing to people like me. You know, like I said, I love playing single-player games. I've played a lot of them.
But you're not as invested where probably a rental service where you can cycle out single-player games, try this out, I don't like it.
And like I said, you're paying $60 and you're going to get six games. You're going to find one that hits. So I think at that point it's worth it. And, you know, you get a 1 in 6 chance. And you're not picking random games. You're not getting games that have had. It's games that you like. So it's games that you know you're going to, you know, have an interest in. So I think that this is a smart choice. I know that GameStop is starting to take a hit with the new digital thing.
Yes.
You know, I definitely am a fan of the digital. I do it a lot. Like with Call of Duty, for example, I used to go to midnight releases. I don't really think I need to anymore. They're crowded. You know, there's.
Most people are just digital, right?
Yeah, you have it's crowded. You have to wait longer than you should. I bought the game. I pre-ordered it on Xbox. It paid $60. Stayed in my nice warm home. 12:01. Launched it up and I played. I think that to me, you know, maybe I'm just a dumb millennial, but I think that digital is starting to be.
No, that's
it's more appealing.
It's true. It's true. I just that's the thing. You grew up in an age where I'd say it's a convenience factor. You weren't like how I grew up, which was years beforehand, where you know, the only way I could get my game was you went to Circuit City, Best Buy, whatever, and you bought that game physically. There was no digital downloads for years until the 360 hit, I think, or something along those lines. I'm sure someone will correct me. But now I got the full details right here. This comes from The Verge. So it says GameStop is offering a new service that will let customers rent a used game, play it as much as they want, return it, and check out another title as often as they like. The deal was first spotted in a leaked magazine ad. The new program called Power Pass costs $60 for 6 months, and so basically $10 for each of those months, and allows customers to borrow any used game that GameStop has to offer. Plus, at the end of the 6 month period, you'll get to keep whatever the last title you checked out was. I actually forgot about that part.
There you go.
Looking closer at the fine print, the only catches are that you need to be a member of GameStop's Power Up Rewards program to sign up, which
I think most people already are.
I was going to say that I personally don't see an issue with it. I think you pay like $15, you get a magazine. You get discount 10%, you get plus 10%. And that you'll be limited to whatever used games are available at your local GameStop. So, yeah, if you don't have a GameStop that's popping, you actually might not have a lot of used games to pick from. So there's that. According to GameStop, the new service will be available to purchase the week of November 13th. So this week actually coming up that this podcast is launching. And can be bought as a gift for someone else so long as they are a PowerUp Rewards member. So This is excellent, I think.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's negative too.
100%. Because I think of it this way, at least at our GameStop, dude, like, sometimes these games go used in, like, week of.
Yeah.
People beat them, trade them in. And exactly. It's like, if you're paying $60 for a six-month period, you don't have to pay $60 for the game. You're paying that $60 for every 6 months, and you can access so many $60 titles, especially with how they're rapidly coming out. Dude, I'm telling you, like, this is an insanely good deal. Oh, like, they're doing something huge right now.
Yeah. I think this is kind of, you know, like I said, GameStop's been taking hits. I think this is kind of be their way to get back up. A lot of people don't make trips to GameStops anymore simply because you can just buy it on your PS4. You can buy it on your Xbox.
This undercuts.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm new to PS4. I don't know if PS4 has, like, the Xbox Game Pass where you pay the X amount of money and then you have all those titles
shitty,
to choose from.
Shitty PlayStation Now or whatever it's called.
So, I think that there's really no reason for anybody to hop on this. It's really cheap, $10 a month. You know, I know some people are in certain situations where they can't get that. But I think for the, you know, the general public, that's really affordable. You know, you're going to be paying, like, I paid $50 for Nier, like, a month ago. Under this new thing, you know, if I waited till now, I could have just paid, you know, $10 this month, picked it up, I could have beat it, returned it, you know, and picked up another game that you recommended to me.
I mean, here's the truth is, like, you know, I love Nier. I've talked about this game. I've gushed about it a lot. You weren't really big on it. You enjoyed it, but, like...
Yeah, I liked it. I wasn't like, you know, wow, I got to replay that again. Or, you know, I personally like Last of Us, you know, more than Nier, and that's something you recommended to me.
But, like, think of it this way. Let's think of the three games you most recently picked up were The Last of Us. You picked up Ratchet and Clank, I think. What else was there?
Nier,
Hitman, and Danganronpa.
Yep.
Like, that's five games that were all used, and you could have got them right under that program.
Yep, exactly.
And, I mean, and let's say, for example, Danganronpa hit with you. The Last of Us hit with you.
And Nier hit. It's just,
It wasn't like a slam dunk like the other two, where you were like, fuck yeah. So, you know, with that being said, you know, you had a situation where, in a hypothetical situation, rather, where if you picked them up under that program, you would have had two hits where you're like, oh my God, this is amazing, I got this for dirt cheap, and then one that you just would have returned and cycled out for something you would have enjoyed,
and
more
all,
at least.
Basically all under for that price point that I paid Nier at.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that this is something that, I don't think there's any negative to it. I think it's a way for GameStop to get back up. I think they're kind of undercutting these new Game Pass or these new, you know, game pool things. You pay a fee and then you get all those games. I think it's a way for them to start building their way back up because they have been taking a hit, you know, in the new digital age. But I think there's no reason for anyone to hop on this. It's affordable. Like I said, I know certain people can't do it, but if you can, I don't think there's any reason not to.
Especially, you know, we're talking a total of 120 in a year, and I think most gamers out there buy at least more than two games a year.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. So, I mean, let's say we're talking about our fucking casual gamer. Like, we're talking...
Your lazy Joe gets home from work. I mean, really just likes to sit down and relax. Games when he needs to. He's more focused
on the wife and kids.
Exactly.
So, you know, he's a Call of Duty guy and he's a sports guy. So he's picking up NHL and he's picking up...
NBA
and the new COD.
Yep.
He's saving money by buying into this program instantly, just with three games.
Yeah.
So it's like they have this situation here that makes so much sense. Of course, it falls under the used category. So for that new Call of Duty, I guarantee already there's so many used copies at GameStop.
Because with any game, you're going to get people who are like, oh, you know, this is garbage.
Yeah.
And you're going to have them who immediately return it in, and then you can just take advantage of that. But there's always used games. You know, I only buy used because it's a little bit cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never run into an issue where... they haven't had a used game. I know we went in with a few people. We were trying to buy four copies, but they didn't have that. But, you know, most people with their own single...
That situation, actually, that you just mentioned would have been a perfect time for that rental service.
Yeah.
Where we were all looking for... We found used copies of the game, but it was a lot of money. We were looking for a four-player co-op game because there's so few of them. We were like, let's get maybe Escapist, or maybe Dead Island. Maybe we'll get Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands. And we couldn't decide... Let's say we're under the rental program. We got all four. We got all three of those.
You could just pick them all up. And that was a big thing because we were like, you know, cost is a big price of it. We don't really, because, you know,
Tom Clancy was, what was it, like 40 bucks?
Yeah, it was 40. We were like, we don't really know if we want to buy it. You know, it's a co-op game. It's kind of steep. We don't know if we're going to stick with it. Under the GameStop program, we would have went in. We'd have been like, all right, let's try it out. We don't like it. We literally could have came in the next day. picked up Escapist. You know, Escapist kind of hit. You know, that seemed like it might have been a quick game to play.
Mm-hmm.
We turned it in. We immediately picked up Friday the 13th. You know, is that something we all could have just kept cycling out on? And I think that it something like that, if we put that situation, fast-forwarded it into next week, I feel like we'd have a nice co-op game to play. Yeah. You know? I remember there was some argument going, like, oh, I'm not playing that. I'm not
fucking
playing this.
Connor.
Yeah, Connor. So it's only positives. Like we've been talking about this for a few minutes now, but not one negative has come up other than the fact that if your GameStop, you know, isn't really popular and they don't cycle out a lot of games, you know, you might get kind of hit. But GameStop still, you know, still has a huge selection of stuff.
I mean, because I think what our example there brought up was that, you know, some people might say, well, this is only beneficial if you're renting, the new used games. Like, you know, they just came out a couple of weeks ago and you're getting on top of them. But, like, our situation right there showed, like, we had games like Ghost Recon Wildlands. That's been out since, like, I think March.
Yeah.
And that was still, like, the $40 price point. So we were instantly saving there. And if Escapist, which was, I think, another 20, that's 60. So those two games were covered under the price plan.
Friday
and then
13th
we,
was Friday, 40.
Yeah, Friday 13th, 40. Boom. So right there, we're saving tons of money with a situation where games were pretty old. But I think what this allows and what we might see, this could be the only negative, is GameStop might keep those used prices a little bit higher to say, well, you know, the employee will literally go, well, you know, you might not be able to afford this, but if you buy this plan, you can rent these out.
Yeah.
So there's that. The other con is, I just lost my fucking train of thought. All right, well, fuck it. It wasn't that important anyway, I guess. But yeah, I love this program, and I really think people should definitely take a look into it if you're definitely, you know, strapped for cash, but you're always interested in playing games and trying to get in on the new stuff. Then this is definitely one for you. I know I'm definitely going to be signing up for this. This is
and it's not
beyond
for new
useful.
Games either. It could be for recommended games.
Yeah,
you know,
that too.
You tell me games to play all the time, and you know I could with this I could like go into GameStop, pick it up, beat it, and go in pick up another recommendation. So it doesn't have to be with new games, and you always have to be waiting for something. You know, you're always waiting on someone else to return the game. You could you know look up a list of games, or you know I know everybody has that backlist of games that they always want to play or they can never beat. It could be used to fix that. So it really is just a way for, you know, new and used games to, you know, start getting some life.
My question or my concern could also be that, what if this new system, like so many people renting games that you're out of used games, right? I mean, you're never going to be out of, but you're going to see a depletion in that. The thing that I was thinking of, my, I had a brain fart was, that GameStop. One thing that my friend, me, Ivan, and Connor, we used to fucking break the system in GameStop. So you could return used games. So we'd buy, I put $80 in the GameStop.
Yeah.
And then it was just like this one week I traded in games, put that $80 on some games, beat them, returned them, got my $80 back, bought new games. We kept doing this for months, like up to a year. We kept doing this until I just felt bad. I was like, the fucking employees hated us there. They're like, every time they fucking came in, this guy just fucking looked so pissed off. He's like, these assholes again. Like, he gave us attitude at the counter. So it was at the point where I just stopped caring. It was like, all right, whatever. I'm gonna stop personally offending this man by, you know, abusing their awful company policy. You know, that's my fault, not his.
I wonder if we're gonna start to see GameStop turn into more of a subscription thing. Will they morph into? All right, you essentially just, instead of opting into this program, we're going to turn into where you pay us $100 a year, and you know, maybe a little bit higher than that if you're going to be, you know, checking out games in and out, but you pay us X amount of money a year and you can just take it. You know, instead of just buying the game individually, and maybe it could be a way for, you know, them to start moving that way. I don't know. It could be them testing the waters, or it could just be them simply trying to, you know, make some money, because I, like I said, we've said it a lot of times, they've been kind of taking hits. So it could be either, you know, a whole slew of things. That's something that crossed into my mind when I saw this. I was like, oh, maybe they're trying to take steps towards becoming a subscription service.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be them testing the waters out. So that's an idea that crossed my mind.
The other thing, and I need to check the fine print, is I don't know if it's up to 6 games you could rent, or if it's like a total of 6 in this 6 months. So let me check the fine print here, because what are you laughing at? Because Game Battles came up first.
Game Battles popped up.
All right, so the fine print says, allows customers to borrow any used game that GameStop has to offer, plus at the end of the 6-month period, you'll get whatever, you get to keep whatever title you checked out last was, so.
I don't think there's a cap on it.
Yeah, maybe there's not. I mean, if you could just cycle out six, I mean, couldn't you abuse that pretty easily? But maybe because you're not going to have people like myself, and I'm sure many others out there who just cycle out those used games and keep getting their money back week in, week out, maybe that's where they're going to gain that we're just not seeing here. But, oh, yeah, it says right here, rent a used game, play it as much as they want, return it, check out another title as often as they'd like. Okay, so yeah, I guess my concerns, dude. Yeah, there's
no negative.
Yeah, there's really, I unless we're missing something here, there's very few times you see something like that come out, and there's not like, you know, the only thing, like I said, that I can imagine is GameStop strong arming us and saying, okay, you know, we're going to keep these prices up because we got this subscription program. Let's get them into that and get guaranteed money up front.
Yeah, but even at that point, you're getting the game for free. Like if they keep their use prices up,
That's more enticing.
It's more enticing just to enroll them in the program. So I think it's more of an incentivizing thing. But you know, like I said, you said if they raise the prices on their used games, people who are in the program, they're going to be getting it for a price of none because they already paid that subscription price. So the only reason I can see them doing that is simply just to entice you to sign up for the Power Pass is what's being called.
I like it, though.
Yeah, I'm definitely a big fan of it.
I mean, if you're buying new games, like if you're a consistent new game owner, but what this will actually entice is more people also to, like, instead of on, I think it was October 27th, where we had Assassin's Creed Origins, Super Mario Odyssey, and what was the other game? Wolfenstein 2 all come out on the same day. Like, that's a fucking huge day. What this will entice people to do is, like, okay, I'm going to put my money on this game, and I'm going to rent these two.
Yeah.
Boom. So, this is a game changer for sure. Definitely puts at least Microsoft's Game Pass in a position where they gotta innovate and really think of something. Because I think that was a game changer. A lot of people got into that system. Microsoft said it's been a success so far, so that's good. But now you have a situation where they need to offer somehow. They need to keep offering more because GameStop covers all systems.
Because I know a lot of people didn't like either that was only limited to Xbox, or that they didn't like the amount of game or the games that Microsoft was offering. Yeah. So maybe this really only helps gamers. You know, now Microsoft comes in.
Yeah, it's competition. Right,
we need to increase our, you know, it's free market at work. Microsoft goes, we need to increase our game pool, or we need to start in, you know, putting better games in there. And you as a gamer, you as a consumer, you only benefit from it because you can say, listen, Microsoft, I don't like playing Xbox. You don't have good enough games on here. I'm going to stop using your console and just go to GameStop. You know, you just end your subscription for the my Xbox Game Pass. So I think it only helps people, and it only helps gamers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That'll be our final news piece, though.
Yeah.
You made it through, bro.
We're at the end of the road. I see the light at the end of the tunnel.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I thought it was
you good. Dude, you did really well. I'm not saying I expect you to suck because you can conduct yourself like a professional, and I know that you know your shit, but like I was really fucking impressed. I was like, holy fuck. This kid came in and killed it.
I appreciate it. I was excited to do it. You know, you texted me probably like an hour ago. You're like, can we want to do a podcast with me? I'm like, yeah, why not?
Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how I set my shit up. I literally was, I literally had to, though. That's the thing. I was dropped. I'm going to read you the DMs. Like, this is how quickly it was dropped on me. Let me just open up my Twitter real quick. They just surprised me with it.
I kind of had to rub my eyes twice. You're like, hey, you want to do podcast? I'm like, oh, what? And I was like, yeah, let's do it.
All right, literally, let's see here. Lone, might not be able to do cast tomorrow. All right. I go, all right, might just be Carrick and I, because I'm saying, like, I don't have a guest plan this week. Because they said they were going to be there. Then Carrick goes, hey, just got the word that the big weekend's starting 4 hours earlier, so they told me, so I can't make it either. Maddie, it's you solo in capital letters. I expect an amazing picture to take my spot. Haha. I was like, what? I just got fucking bailed on? I was so shocked. I'm like, this just happened, like, boom.
Yeah.
Just like that. And then Lone goes, Matthew, I can do it. I'm seeing this now. I can do it soon if we start soon. I know you guys had daylight savings turn off, so it's technically earlier. Oh, whatever. Fuck you, Lone. I did it anyway without you. I'm going to text him right now. Did it How dare he double text me? Look at that. He just double texted me. He went 317. I didn't answer right away. You know, I'm doing my thing. And he sends me Connor question marks. Because Connor always does that when I won't answer in like a half hour.
Let's see this.
Did it without you, pussy. That's what I said.
There you go. Ready to let him know.
My boy helped me out. Not you. All right. Lone guilting aside, Tyler, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was a complete blast. I never showed you what picture. You know how I usually have an overlay?
Yeah.
Normally it's either...
I was thinking about that. I didn't.
Yeah, it's normally either our faces, most episodes, or a pixel picture. But I've selected this for our...
I love that. There you go.
That's going to be the one that... this is an old... The picture you guys have been looking at for the past hour. Yeah, this is years old. It's just a... We took like deep selfies, and I'm like, "Yo, wait, we can make an album cover out of this." So
there we go.
That's what we did.
I remember when you first sent me that picture; like, I had tears rolling out of my eyes. I remember it vividly.
It was so fucking funny. So that's what you guys have been looking at in the background now. A little backstory on that, and Tyler, you're more than open if you want to join anytime.
I appreciate it.
We will catch you guys in the next episode, or at least I will. Peace out.